Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But listen to this. Let's don't bury our head in the sand of denial. Let's open our eyes. Let's open our eyes and say, Lord, here we are. We want to know what's going on. And so what we want to do is we want to understand what is the president's vision, you know, for America. Where is he taking us? Because he's about to wrap up the first 4 years, and he's talking about the next 4 years, and he's going to have, you know, kind of take it further in there. And the president of King's College is being interviewed right here on GBTV, and it's Dinesh. You got to hear him. He's going to be talking and being interviewed, and listen to this man. Is a very wise man. He's president of King College. He used to work on President Ronald Reagan's staff right there. But you're going to be really enlightened. Listen up. We want to know what is the vision? What does transforming America mean? And he, above anybody else I've ever heard, he really gets it. He begins to understand. He opens things up just systematically about, you know, where is our president taking us? Listen up.
Well, Barack Obama's not a sort of traitor, or he hates America or anything like that. He subscribes to an ideology that sees America as the rogue nation in the world. What is this ideology? It's kind of a third world anti-Americanism, anti-colonialism. The basic idea here is that the whole ship of the world has gone wrong side up. And it's gone wrong side up for 500 years because one civilization, Europe, America, has conquered the rest of the world and stolen its stuff. That's the theory, that these rich countries only became rich by taking the wealth of the poor countries. So Obama, it has a global vision, and that is, I want to set the ship of the world right. And what that means is that America has to go down so the rest of the world can come up.
The night he was elected, he said something along the lines that, because of what we've done today, we have begun to change America and fix the world.
Remaking America. That was right. His phrase. And as I listened to that, I thought to myself, how do you remake America without unmaking America?
Right.
So
it's not
some
rebuild. It was remake.
Right. You got to take down the America that there is to put something new in its place. So now, weirdly, I think from Obama's point of view, he's doing what's good for America. It's almost like he's the coach of the Lakers, and he thinks it's really bad for the Lakers to keep winning. Why? Because it's making them arrogant. It's making them greedy and selfish and exploitative. It would be really good for the Lakers to start losing. So he's calling plays for the Lakers to lose. Now, if we're the Lakers, we'd want to fire this guy, right? But first we have to know that that's his agenda. And the genius of Obama is that he can do exactly what he wants, but explain it in terms that throw us off his path.
You put in the film because, you know, you use the Lakers analogy here. No, I don't have to know that that's agenda. If I'm a Lakers fan and the guy keeps losing, do you have to know his agenda to want him fired? No, you don't have to. But people don't, generally, I mean, 40% approval rating is astounding with this kind of record.
He's defying gravity.
Right. You have in the movie this amazing fact that Obama figured it out while he was in college, that people would want to help him if he put a mask on, right?
Yep.
Obama possesses in his pocket what can be called certificates of racial absolution. Now, I don't mean by this simply the fact that he's black, he's African-American. That's not the key to it. The key to it is that he's a different kind of African-American. He's not Jesse Jackson. He's not Al Sharpton. We're used to black leaders who make racial demands. You're a racist unless you pay me. And that has put America in a very defensive position. Here comes Obama, and he never brings the subject up. He's above it. He's the racial healer. So the point to make
here...
No, he's not. But the fact that he doesn't intimidate you with explicit racial appeals is immensely relieving to whites, because whites go, oh, wow, he allows us to believe that we've gotten beyond all that by voting for him. See, I wondered to myself, why are all these guys like Chris Matthews? Chris Matthews is a hardcore guy. I mean, he grew up with Tip O'Neill. He's, you know, he's on the docks of Boston. He's a tough guy. But when he talks about Obama,
oh, he's got a tingle.
He says, "Oh, I got a tingle down my leg." He begins to talk in a very effeminate way. Now, why? I think it's nothing to do with Obama. It's Chris Matthews able to say that by my supporting Obama, I'm patting myself on the back. I'm a morally wonderful human being because I can vote for this guy. So this is Obama's secret weapon. He disarms us, and he brings out from the left this sycophantic dedication that is unprecedented.
You have a point in the documentary about the caliphate, the United States
of Islam.
Of Islam. There was a few times I knew I was on the right track when I had you on, when I talked about the caliphate, when I said the Muslim Brotherhood was just absolutely evil and infiltrated the United States, when I talked about social justice being evil and get out of your church if it's a social justice church, if be very careful of that term, find out exactly what that means. The gates of hell opened up on me. And the caliphate was the last one that just the gates of hell opened up. And look at what's happening now.
Yeah, I think Obama wants to reduce America's footprint in the world because he thinks we're stepping on the world. So what he's doing is encouraging anti-American forces in the Middle East. He used force to push out Gaddafi in Libya, and he used diplomacy to push out Mubarak in Egypt. Now, what do those two guys have in common? They were both doing business with the United States. Gaddafi is no friend of ours, but he was behaving himself since 2002. Mubarak was probably our greatest ally in the region, not counting Israel. Meanwhile, Obama refuses to use force when there's massive casualties
Iran.
In Syria.
Didn't even bring up Iran.
There were Iran, you had bigger demonstrations than Tahrir Square.
Yeah.
And Obama says, no. Not only did he not intervene, he told the rest of us to be quiet. Let's be calm. And all of that died off. So what does Syria and Iran have in common? They're deadly enemies of the United States, and they are allied with each other. So the only consistent explanation for Obama's double standard in using force over here, but not over there, pushing this guy out, keeping that guy in.
The name of the documentary is 2016, which implies you can see down the road to what it's going to be like in 2016. Stop at Israel. What does Israel look like in 2016?
If I were an anti-colonialist, I would say that it is not enough to have a Palestinian state. It's not enough to give the West Bank and Gaza back. Why? Because the anti-colonial view is that Israel itself is the little colonial power, the little American surrogate sitting and occupying Muslim land.
It's a cancer.
So if I was an anti-colonialist, I would think, what is a clever way to get rid of Israel? To return the whole of Israel to the Muslims. Now, I think I would know the Jews aren't going anywhere, but I would think of ways like, what if I were to support a right of return for Palestinian refugees? What if I were to make it so that Muslims would be the majority in Israel? Then the Jews would be a minority in their own country, and it would cease to be a Jewish country. And I could achieve that result by demanding democracy. Everyone has an equal vote. Just as if I wanted anti-colonialism in the Middle East, I would demand that Saudi Arabia have a free election. I'd say, royal family, we've seen it now in Egypt. You put yourself on the ballot. You run against the Muslim Brotherhood, and let's see who wins that election. So we look at the Middle East. There are three important countries. There's Iran, there's Egypt, there's Saudi Arabia. Iran has been in the hands of the radical Muslims since 79. Egypt is in the process of transporting itself into the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. Who's left? Saudi Arabia. So if the radical Muslims get that one, they have Mecca, they have Medina.
If I'm not mistaken, over in the Middle East, 2011 was known as the year of the dictators, and 2012-13 is known as the year of the kings. Meaning, first we took care of the dictators, next come the kings, which would make you right. One more quick thing. You have a piece where You show Barack Obama sitting with what's his name in Russia, and he leans
Medvedev, the Russian president,
and he leans over and he says, "Listen, I need some more room here. I'll have more room to maneuver." Chilling, bone chilling. Barack's, or I mean, Medvedev says, "I'll transmit to Vladimir."
And I stand with you.
Yeah, and I stand with you. What does that imply?
Well, that implies at the least that he has a hidden agenda. We may not know what that agenda is, but the clear meaning of what Obama's saying is he's saying, "Look, Medvedev, there are things I want to give you." And he's talking about missile defense in this case. He goes that if I were to tell the American people what those things are, they might not reelect me. So wait, give me space, give me flexibility, his actual words, so that I can do these things after I'm reelected. Remember, in the second term, a president is not tethered to public opinion. He becomes his own man. So weirdly, I think despite all we've seen about Obama, we haven't seen the full Obama.
Do we? That's frightening. Do we survive 2016 if he's elected?
Well, I think that we do not survive as, I mean, the risk is, will America still be a world superpower? That's question number one. The second is, what about America's wealth? Now, I mentioned in the film, this is directly from the Federal Reserve, American wealth from 2007 to now is down 40%. So that's almost half. If American wealth were to drop another 40% in the next 4 years, that would be a total decline of American wealth of 66%, not 80%, but 66%. America would cease to be a first world country. Because this is happening at the time when other countries are dramatically coming up. Brazil, Indonesia, Chile, India. So America would essentially drop back into the also-ran of nations.
Okay.
Which is to say we would be exactly in the position that the world was in 1500 before colonialism. There was no superpower. There were multiple nodes of influence.
That's
the world I believe that Obama wants.
Okay, back
about
with
this.
Questions from...
Think about it. 1500. Would we be back? The vision that our president has, which he thinks is good, it's not that he's thinking that it's a bad vision for America, is that America needs to be humbled. It needs to be humbled. Taken back to the 1500s in regards to our influence, in regards to our economy. And I'm seeing, I mean, imagine if you have a boat, if you have a boat and you wanted to sink the boat and you poke one hole in the boat, you have to wait for the water to come through that little small hole and it's starting to sink. And it's like, well, if I want to sink this boat and I want to make sure it sinks, because if I just poke one hole in it and somebody wants to stop this boat from sinking, they just got to plug one hole. I mean, if you want it to happen quickly, if you want it to happen where no matter what people would go to be able to stop it, you would poke more than one hole in it. You would poke a whole bunch of holes in it because you would want, punch a whole bunch of holes in it because you would want to make sure, even if some holes got plugged, there's enough holes to make sure this ship sunk. And America's ship is sinking before our eyes. My basic understanding prophetically and what God has shown me, what he's shown those that I'm aware of that are hearing, the way we're hearing is God is fashioning a storm. He is humbling us. He's humbling us. He's allowing us to be humbled because we refuse to follow him and his ways. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, listen, it's everywhere. And some of the things we're talking about, you know, the economy, you know, we've seen the economy in 6 minutes fall. It literally fell. We saw paper money be in a vision being totally burned up, and that's what they're talking about today. We're seeing things happen to our nation and fall to its knees. We're seeing immigration where the borders openly before our eyes. You know, people, our leaders are saying, we're not going to protect the borders. What does that mean? Then people, like water, are going to flood into our country. It gives it more of a chance to flood, right? Then we're seeing Islam. We literally have seen, the Lord has shown us, our president making a covenant with Islam, signing an agreement with Islam in the White House. He's invited people who are known for as being a terrorist. He sought counsel He started his campaign with Bill Ayers, who is a terrorist. He and is more of a colonialist, and that's what he's talking about as he's sharing the president of King's College is talking about, is we have to understand that. And it helps us understand, you know, his vision. His vision is that, you know, Great Britain and America, that particular civilization took over the world, and now they need to give it back. And when they give it back, then the world will be like it was in the 1500s, and we would be humbled. The question is, you know, if we're moving in pride, you know, God's going to humble us. God's going to humble us. But the thing is, if we repent, if we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, if we say, I was wrong, and we say, listen, God, we want you, and you can individually do this, because I was sharing in the first hour, no matter what the nations do in the world, kings come and kings go, kingdoms stand and kingdoms fall, and God rises them up and God will take them down. No matter what happens, God will bless you if you decide today to begin to follow him. If you don't know him as your Savior, go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. And if you do know him, but you've just been very religious and you need to begin to abide with him, it's dump man's religions and his traditions and his philosophies and go after God and his word. You need to begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to do that, we got a simple plan available for you at iabide.org. Request your free plan today. And so what we're talking about here is there's all kinds of holes being punched into the American ship. There's all kinds of holes. And so what you see, it's not, you can't focus on one thing. I mean, our head law enforcement officer is selling guns to the Mexican drug lords and the mafiosos and all those guys down in Mexico. And one of our own people got shot by him. And this is called Fast and Furious. That's a hole. That's a hole. We have people that live on our borders in Arizona and Texas and California that these guys are coming over those borders with drugs and with those that are just washing in people that are coming in like a flood into our country. And our president's openly saying, we will not defend the borders. We will not. You can prosecute people all you want to, but we're not going to represent them. You know, ICE, which is the immigration arm of the government. And that's what the president's supposed to do, is protect our borders. But is there a hole being punched into our ship there? And then you have a hole being punched into our economy. We're still at 9% unemployment. Trillions of dollars is being spent. I mean, you could have just given the money to people to put in their pockets. You could have paid off mortgages. But the goal of it is to be able to drain the banks, to drain the finances. So that's another hole being punched. You have now changing in regards to the viewpoint of gay marriage and same-sex marriage and all that, and pushing that particular agenda. And that is another hole being punched in the fabric of America. And it just keeps coming and coming. And the Muslim Brotherhood and the ultimate goal of the adversary is to take a religious rule, a oppressive rule over God's creation, his people. And Islam, their ultimate goal in Islam, and we're gonna get Islam 101. We're gonna figure out, you know, about, you know, what is, help me understand Islam.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.